yeah, I like these subjects here.
Right. All right. Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to a very special edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noisera, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I am actually joined by my good friend Charles Casson of Truth is Terrorism. Charles, my friend, how are you?
Great, great. Thank you for having me, man.
Aw, dude, it's gonna be a pretty information-packed episode.
I'd imagine with you. I mean, you're really on top of everything, pretty much.
Well, I like having... This is one of the reasons I like having people like you on, is because, like I said, man, you'll make memes that just hit it on the nail, and it's just like, this is what I was trying to say without all the fancy words.
Basically, yeah.
The last time you were on, we were talking about the technocracy, and this is all before, and this is stuff that we'll get into on the show. This is all before, like, Trump came into office. We were talking about the technocracy, the social engineering, and, you know, things like the feminazi movement that's gone crazy. And really, you know, everything else that we just kind of see, like, unfolding and hitting the fan these days. But what have, you know, tell the people, you know, what have you been up to?
I just been pretty busy, honestly, other than getting banned on Facebook for 3 consecutive months for speaking out against the transgender agenda. I've been so swamped with like future plans, where I'm going from here. I also got involved in the cryptocurrency market a little bit because I can't help but, I mean, how could anybody ignore it now? And we knew, those of us that seen Aaron Russo's work or are familiar with his work, he told us that Nicholas Rockefeller, the son of David Rockefeller, actually told him that the future would bring basically a digital currency. I mean, he didn't use those words, but he said there's going to be a chip and your money's going to be on it, and if the government doesn't like you and you're going against the government, they'll just turn it off. You won't be able to buy anything. So this whole cryptocurrency thing kind of has me taken over here, because this is clearly a move towards exactly what Nicholas Rockefeller was saying,
towards the cashless society. I'm glad you said that, though. If anything, I want to kind of get your opinion on that while we're here, because, you know, I kind of got some slack from people whenever I was like, you know, we really need to look at what this cryptocurrency, digital money, what this looks like. Our kids in the future, they're not going to be paying for stuff, you know, with dollar bills. I mean, when was the last time you paid for a bill with exact change? So when you're looking at stuff like cryptocurrencies, digital money, conversion rates, and all kinds of different stuff like that, that's where the future's going. And even though they talk about it in the Bible, like I said with Aaron, like you said with Aaron Rousseau as well, you know, they're trying to make us take the mark of the beast. They're already doing it in Finland. They're like implanting people's biometric data, their cell phone number, their credit cards, their social security numbers, all into like a chip, just so they can go onto a train. Like, this is very real stuff, and the reason why we can throw both of these things together is because this is planned for the future. This is what they're trying to do.
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't mind me asking, have you looked at mining any of the cryptos, or are you just like investing in them?
I haven't looked at mining much. I know that's pretty huge and there's people doing it and making good money. I've just looked at the right ones to basically invest in for the longer term. And I know, I think it's 100% part of the agenda, but at the same time, I have to eat food, I have to make money, and I have to, you know, do my own thing also. So I'm not against profiting off of them. I'm not against profiting off of Monsanto stock if you want to buy it. And you're going to use the money to speak out against them and go against them and whatever. If you're one of those people, sure. You know, I know other people would be like, no, don't invest in Monsanto if they're an evil company. But, like, money's just, you know, if you invest in an evil company and take the money that you make and feed it to the homeless, you just turn evil into good, I guess, right? Or you use evil to do something good, so...
Precisely. I think, you know, a lot of people, we always end up saying, you know, oh, money is the root of all evil. It's like, no, evil is the root of all evil. Money is the tool. Now, if evil people are using money for nefarious purposes, that's evident. You know, that's why we have things like Monsanto. That's why we have places like McDonald's. That's why we have the whole fast food industry, the vaccine industry, big pharma, all this other stuff. But like you just said, you know, if we can figure out ways to use these tools of enslavement as tools of enlightenment, that's whenever we'll actually start making progress. Like the same way, you know, the same way we're fully aware, and I'm sure we'll get into this too, you know, with the Facebook censorship, the Twitter censorship, the YouTube censorship, like the censorship in general, we're still using their platforms to spread this information. And so now that's making pushback, but that doesn't mean that we're not still capable of having an effect by using their platform, so to speak, or using their tools. And that's how we have to look at cryptocurrency and this whole digital currency or this cashless society. Like, we're aware of the agenda, but we've got to meet it head on so that we can counter it down the line.
Yeah, I actually think that something revolutionary. I mean, it's already revolutionary in itself, and it's a planned revolution, but something good for the people could come out of it too if we use it, you know, like a food, something charitable. You could do something really charitable with it, I think. So hopefully we'll see something like that happen.
Have you seen have you been looking at anything like the universal basic income and stuff like that?
Oh my God. Yeah. See, that's one thing. The funny thing, one of these guys that's very big into creating the hardware or whatever, all this blockchain stuff, he's calling for the same universal basic income. So when I saw that, I'm like, is this guy, I think his name is Dan Larimer. I was like, is this guy, you know, he's part of Steemit. I'm sure you've heard of Steemit, right?
Yep.
So I think it's the guy that's behind that. He's calling for the universal basic income too. So kind of makes me think he's some, I don't know if it's tough in this game. Sometimes, you know, it could be a celebrity. Let's say they're just being used, they're pawns, they were brainwashed to believe something and then they're repeating it. Is it that, or are they actually part of it and want it? You know what I mean? So I'm not sure if this Dan Larimer guy wants universal basic income because he's an elitist, or because somehow that got, you know, somehow that's like a grassroots revolutionary thing now. I don't know. I'm not sure, but yeah, that stuff is serious. That's going to happen 100%. The government's going to be giving everybody a little bit of money. It's definitely going to happen in the future.
It's sketchy. You know, it's definitely sketchy. You got Stockton, California. I think they're going to have their own universal basic income experiment. Hawaii's doing it. And I think Finland's doing it as well. There's a few places that are doing this. And one of the reasons I have like a problem, you know, with it, the same way, we don't know if this is going to be used for an agenda. Obviously it is. You know, you have people like even Mark Zuckerberg, when he was addressing Harvard, was saying that, I believe people should have a universal basic income. Right. Now, think about that. And the concept I kind of throw out to people, you know, whenever we get to this point, I'm like, how crazy would the world be? Would we be living in a technocracy or a corporatocracy or whatever, whenever you are given, say, $500 every month for having a Facebook account? And I know that just sounds ridiculous, but what if that's like the kind of world they're going to set up, to where it's like there's no strings attached, you just have to sign up for this service? Because, I mean, I don't know if you saw the other day, Trump's trying to nationalize a 5G network.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that. Imagine to where they make Facebook a public utility. In order for you to have, like, you know, access to universal basic income, you have to have a Facebook. And I know that sounds wild, but these are the kinds of things that these people are working on. They want to try to figure out ways to where we become more and more dependent upon the government for, like, everything. For information, for resources, for finance, for well-being. They want to replace God with the state.
Of course. I mean, that's why, the only solution really is for people to denounce getting anything from the government, really. We don't want anything from the government. We could work together as people, as citizens or whatever, and figure this out. We don't need these governments. But unfortunately, that seems like the path that's almost seems inevitable now, that the government's just going to be giving everybody a little allowance.
No. I'm shaking my head over here. I'm like, no, don't take the chip. Don't get the free cash. It's not free. You're giving up your privacy. You're giving up you're giving up so much.
And you saw the Black Mirror. I've been meaning to put the video out. Like, somebody commented on one of my posts where I said the future is, you know, screens in your head and all that. And someone referred me to a Black Mirror episode, and I watched it, and it was exactly, you know, total predictive programming where the guy's, you know, the screen is in your head. You have a chip implant, screen's in your head. I don't know if you've seen that Black Mirror episode, but it's pretty wild.
Is it the one where, you know, the guy, he basically has to, like, get his wife to tell him what happened because he can't play, like, the video in his head or something?
Nope.
Was it that one?
Yeah, where she's supposed to be. Where she was with this guy for a year, and she said only a month, and blah blah blah. And then he's like having sex with her in the bed, but they're not really having sex. Like, it just shows him, like, kind of just like, you know, like she's just like asleep almost, and he just like does his thing, and then all of a sudden in his head he's having this wild passionate sex, but really his wife's just there, and like there's nothing happening. That's just total programming. They're showing people the guy with the girl in the bed, but the guy doesn't have to be with the girl in the bed. The guy could be in his bed alone, and the girl could just be some, you know, Angelina Jolie in your head and the screen in your head, and that's actually what's coming.
And it really sounds wild, you know, you start talking about it, but it's because these types of technologies, they're not here yet. You know, we have like haptic sensors. You could throw on like a bodysuit, and you can kind of have like some kind of, you know, response from whatever you're hooked up to. But it's not the same as like what Charles just described right there. What they're literally trying to do is implant you to where it messes with your brain. It makes it feel and sense and taste and experience these things as if they're real time. Because, yep, you know, you really start breaking it down. This is the scientific dictatorship. Like the other day, I don't know if you caught the post. I put up a post on how these people are trying to say that sandwiches are bad.
Oh God, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they were, but it was the craziest thing. They have a formula for your carbon footprint on. Apparently, like a sandwich is the equivalent to 12 miles. So they have a formula for that. I don't know how, but they're able to digitize this much of reality. So if they can digitize the exterior world that way, who knows what they've already done to the brain? Who knows what they're just waiting to slowly roll out to us? The same way we were talking before with Aaron Rousseau, you know, to where you have this chip, as Charles just described right there, implanted inside of you, and to where they're like, you know what? We don't want this guy to feel. Let's just turn it off. Yeah. This is the future they're trying to create.
For sure. That's a big part of the agenda, the emotion. Like, they don't want, they do not, the emotion is not part of their future, you know.
And that's why would you say that's why they're, like, having us, if anything, would you say that's kind of why they're having us, you know, get it all out right now, to where it's just, like, hitting these weird extremes with the feminazis and all this other, you know, feel-good talk, you know, this weird political correctness they have us in?
It seems that way. It seems like this is just some type of chaos that we're supposed to, that something's supposed to come out of. I don't know if it's supposed to hit some type of peak point with an Iran attack and a crash of the U.S. economy. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to play out. Supposedly, that's what's going to happen. And you know, they like to talk about North Korea, but I'm pretty sure Iran's going to be the big event. But you never know, I guess, because North Korea, they got plans for Korea, too. But yeah, it's like an emotional frenzy right now.
It's wild, you know. One of the things, one of the things that, you know, that we did talk about, like, before the hand, you know, was just that, like, the feminazi stuff. And we can touch on the Iran and North Korea stuff as well, because I see a lot of stuff kind of unfolding in the geopolitical scale of things. But, you know, nationally right now with this feminazi stuff and what they're doing to the family unit, you know, it's lunacy. It's insanity. You know, I see them just like, and the reason I want to make this kind of pivot from looking at what they're trying to do to manipulate us to jumping into things like the feminazis, the sex bots and everything else, is because they're trying to digitize what it means to be human. And so if they can get out all of these, you know, weird extremes, these weird radicals, you know, of extreme success versus, like, extreme failure versus, like, extreme emotion versus extreme cool, you know, they'll be able to gauge the public this way. And this is strange, But this is literally the kinds of technology that these people have. And so they're able to gauge society real time through things like Twitter, through things like Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. These are how these people operate. So whenever they have, and this is where I'm going to try to pivot into the feminazi movement, whenever you literally have them over here debasing themselves, not actually endorsing the family, not actually trying to, you know, say, hey, I am empowered. I am strong. I am a powerful individual. I don't need to, you know, go out into the middle of the street topless, screaming, you know, I want my rights, wearing like a baklava, you know, and being crazy. That's what's being propagated. You see it on the news, and then you go out there to where people can't even talk about what's happening to the family unit, to just natural human behavior. It's been too radicalized or polarized.
Yeah. They're very good with these extremes, like you're saying, going from one extreme to the next extreme. Like, they put in a dark-skinned guy who's a total feminist, tranny supporter, all this stuff, and then they put in the white, misogynistic type who's against all of it, apparently, which I don't believe, obviously. I don't think that Trump's actually against. I mean, Trump talked about... I don't even talk much about Trump because it's such a, like... It's so obvious that he's just supposed to be this huge clown distraction for everybody, or... You know, for the people that hate him, and you know, just to get a ton of hate. But he talked about how the vaccines for the babies look like they're going to inject a horse with them. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I've been meaning to post this as well. You know, I can't post content nonstop. You know, I don't get paid to do this yet. Maybe I should get paid, and then I could just do it 24/7. But Trump has literally on record said that the vaccines look like they're made to inject a horse with them, yet he's done absolutely nothing about it. So it's like, it's very contradictory, you know. To and he said he believes that spreading them out is the right thing, to spread them out, which I don't, you know, obviously I think it should just be completely just thrown in the garbage because they're total poison. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he really used those words, like that the vaccines look like they're for a horse, not a baby, and then he does nothing about it. You know, he got the whole anti-vax vaccine movement to support him because of that stuff when he talked against the vaccines. That's all it was, really, I think.
Well, so, you know, you look at the vaccines today, and people don't even understand, like, the problems they cause. Autism is only, like, one side effect. But if they say, you know, autism is genetic, how could it be, like, a possible side effect of a vaccine? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then you look at what's happening with the flu this year. People that have gotten it, I don't know if you saw that post that we put up, it said that you're 630% more likely to catch the flu from somebody who sneezes after they just recently got the flu vaccine. So how does that work? How do you still get the flu even though somebody got like the vaccine for it? They're saying it has like 10% effectiveness this year. And like, don't even get me started on it, because you start talking about eugenics, you start talking about epigenetics. Again, and one of like the fantastic memes that you made is to where, you know, they don't to where you put up a meme. It was like they don't have to kill you if they can sterilize you.
Yep. That's how, because people have this idea like, well, if they're killing us, they're doing a really bad job because there's tons of people all over the place. It's like, yo, like this thing is, and that's not how, when you're dealing with the genius, cunning, ruthless type of mindset that uses the highest sciences that you don't even know exist, they're not going to just come out and start shooting everybody in the world and then you're going to know the game. No, they're going to slowly alter your genes, and over a process of 50, 100, 200 years, they're going to destroy your ability to give birth, which is happening all around us right now. It's just, I don't think that's something people really want to talk about. It's not like a guy with, let's say, like a small you know, private area, he's not going to run around telling everybody, well, listen, I have a micro-sized private area. He's not going to tell you that, the same way someone's not going to walk around saying, you know, I can't give birth because it destroys their value. Mm-hmm. You know, so people aren't going to just go out there and speak about their reproduction problems that they're having, but they're definitely having them. I've had my sister tell me her friends are having tons of stillborn babies, like, they've never seen this before. There's tons of stillborn. I also heard in the community, Jewish community that I grew up around, they're having a lot more girls than guys. And this has been documented, that this type of stuff happens when you you look at the effects of a lot of these hormone, you know, the endocrine disrupting chemicals that are out there, like the phthalates and the BPA. And yeah, the vaccines are definitely sterilizing people too with the polysorbate 80 and a bunch of this stuff.
It's like, it's the vaccines, it's things like GMOs, and it's all of it. I mean, the atrazine, it's all of the different chemical cocktails that they are throwing at us that are really like starting to affect us. You know, and to kind of, you know, bridge sections, I'm sure you've kind of seen, I'm sure you've kind of seen that quote, the future is feminine or the future is female. Now, I love women. I'm not even going to lie. I think every man should and does. But whenever I see that type of stuff, to me, you know, and I want to talk about it in this way with you, what we're literally talking about is them trying to squeeze out the male, squeeze out like masculinity, like get rid of guys. And I know that kind of sounds like wild and ridiculous, but you got a lot of, I don't want to say cucks, because, you know, that's going to sound all rude, but you got a lot of beta males. You got a lot of people that are out there who have very low testosterone, and this isn't like an effect. This isn't, you know, their fault. This is also like a byproduct of society. We don't look at like things like soy in the food or all the other things that are in there that really do mimic estrogen that guys are taking in all the time. You know, that's why we have guys that have man boobs, you know, because these things are very real. So if the future is female, that's, to me as a male, I got to be honest with you guys, it's a little threatening.
Yeah. And the guys with all the low testosterone, they're actually like the new player dude, you know, like they get all the girls, the guys that are like I'm just joking. It seems like girls are more attracted to less aggressive, less dominant male type of characters today. They're more like, oh, that guy's a misogynist. He's a guard, you know? Forget about him. But I was going to say something. And you know, you said the future is female. I did actually make a meme about that. It was meant to just be kind of like trolly and kind of funny. It was like, the future is female. And then it was Chappelle on the bottom. And it was like, and she's getting an abortion.
Oh god.
So they didn't like that one. A lot of them didn't like that one. But, you know, the future is female and she's getting an abortion.
Well, people don't really like, it's crazy. We're literally talking about like the depopulation, dehumanization. We're literally talking about like how humanity could end. Like, yeah. we're not snakes. We can't self-reproduce like that. We're not just going to pop babies out. You know, we're not having.
That will happen, though. That's part of the agenda.
Is it? With the whole transhumanism agenda, you think?
The agenda is so that people can clone themselves and just reproduce with themselves. That's the agenda. That will come.
Good
God. If they're successful with their agenda, that is what we will see.
So does
it... Sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, does that mean we're like moving towards like an androgynous future to where 100%. Everybody's just like a he-she?
100%. That's the agenda. And it will be more than that, too. There will be human animals, humanimals, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they're going to mix the human. If they want to have a person that's 2 inches big, you know, like literally a person that's 2 inches, and they could put the person in the pipes to go clean the pipes and send them in there, they're going to do that. If they want to have a guy with gills and he could swim underwater and go to fix the oil pipelines or do whatever, they're going to make that. But they had to completely destroy our humanity, and they had to take us off the pedestal of top predator in the world, because that's what human beings are. We're the top predator. We can, you know, we really are. With our brains and our minds, we can run the whole world. Obviously, there's no species out there that's a threat to humanity other than, well, I guess ourselves, right? But we are the top predator, and they said that they needed to get us off of that pedestal so that they can go ahead and go through with all this transhumanism and all these agendas.
You know, whenever I see pictures of you know how the Illuminati is always trying to, you know, put up the picture of Baphomet, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got the goat head, you have the breasts, you have the masculine body. That's what I kind of see them like doing, like everything you just said right there, you know, with the cloning, the hybrid humans, that's what I see them trying to do, is trying to create us into this androgynous beast style creature, you know, to where you can have people who choose to say, you know what, I don't want to be human anymore. You know, mix me with a cheetah, or, you know, mix me with a liger, you know, something crazy like that. The other day,
what happened?
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, that will happen. You're saying the other day.
Oh yeah. No, the other day, you know, scientists claim that there is a humanzi. They have humanzi. So I wanted to jump on this with you, because we kind of talked about it at the start of the show, you know, with the cloning the monkeys, and we just mentioned, you know, the hybrid humans, human-animal hybrids, and now we're talking about things like humanzis. This might sound like a far-fetched idea, but didn't Stalin do that? Didn't he want to have the whole race of hybrid human ape men?
Oh, man.
But the whole the whole idea behind this is to dehumanize us, because right now, you know, we have conscience, we have reason, we have logic, we have all kinds of different things at the human facility that we can rationalize and deal with. But if they can mix us with all kinds of different monsters, creatures, and even, you know, lessen our state now, like taking away certain genes, doing all this genetic tampering, How will future generations know what their potential is if it's being modified today?
Right, and that's what this transgender thing is really about. It's about legalizing all this insanity. Because, I mean, once you have that going, and then people can't talk out against it. Like I said, I was banned from Facebook 3 months in a row for, you know, some basic, like, Kermit meme about transgender and things like that. And if you can do that, if you can start getting people to not be able to even speak out against something like transgenderism, which is kind of crazy. I mean, let's say we were having this talk 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and the same way we're talking about, oh, yeah, like in the future, that is going to happen. There's going to be people that can clone them. So what if we were saying, yeah, there's going to be, you know, guys that want to become girls, and they'll go get surgical operation, or they'll get some injections, and they're going to grow breasts, or they're going to get a new, you know, a whole new thing going on. If you would have said it then, people would be like, it would sound just as crazy as me saying in the future, yes, people will clone themselves and reproduce themselves. It would sound just as crazy in a way. But now you can see that we're heading towards that. And a prediction that I'll make based on what I'm seeing through the glyphosate and Roundup Monsanto type of feed that's going on here, and it's in all the foods too, is that just like we saw autism go from 1 in 5,000, 1 in 10,000, to now 1 in, who knows if it's 1 in 45 or if it's even less now, but we're going to see people born with both sexual organs. Mm-hmm. That's my prediction. You're going to see that go from, it's now 1 in 1,500 to 1 in 2,000. It will go to 1 in, same thing autism is doing right now. That's my prediction, because you're seeing that happen on the pig farms with the feed. Why isn't it going to happen with human beings? Of course it's going to happen.
So then my next question becomes, you know, is this humanity's evolution or is this de-evolution? Because if they were talking about, if you put it in that context, if in the past they were talking about this, you know, people literally being able to change themselves, you know, is this evolution or is this de-evolution?
It's a planned evolution, which is just add an R to the word and then you have it. It's a planned evolution, which is a revolution. So, yeah, evolution is really just a revolution.
Interesting.
No,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, that whole, so what you have is they set the groundwork first. They always lay the groundwork first. So now you have supposedly where people are born and they can be born, they're not male, they're not female, they're now X, right? Or something like that?
Yep.
So that is exactly what I'm talking about, what's going to be coming now. I mean, you can tell with the feed. This is what this glyphosate, Monsanto, Roundup garbage, it causes that. If it's doing it on the pig farms, it has to happen. So that's what's going to happen. And then it's going to be this whole politically correct type of thing. You can't say that pesticides and Monsanto and Roundup is causing it. You're offending the X gender, you know, and then they'll throw me in jail or something. Like, it's so ridiculous. It really is.
I think what's crazy, and you know, you definitely touched on it, you know, with this whole transgender thing, they're saying, like you said, it's the censorship, it's the social engineering, it's them saying, hey, you can't say this, you can't talk about this, this might sound strange, this might seem weird, but you better keep your opinion to yourself. They're basically, like we were talking about before the show, they're trying to legalize insanity. They're trying to make it to where it's illegal to be sane and rational. They're trying to say, you know what, if he doesn't want to be a girl, or if she doesn't want to be a girl, she can be a guy. And you know what? If she doesn't want to be a guy after she was a girl, she can go become this. She can go become, you know, a flying purple people eater, or exactly. Something after that.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's all to dissociate us.
Yeah, what's to stop that, right? I mean, the transgender thing is the ground. It's the foundation for this, for sure. And it's also the foundation for giving people the ability to give birth when they would not have had that ability. They were not a female with a womb. And now they'll be able to either clone themselves or reproduce themselves or whatever. Who is that appealing to? It's appealing to transgenders, definitely. It's appealing to the gay community, right? So this is what they're going to use, the tranny community. You can't even say that word anymore, tranny. That's like somehow like, you know, become...
Yeah, fair. Apparently it's offensive.
Yeah, tranny. You can't say tranny. You have to be Dave Chappelle on a stage to be able to say these things. You can't be. You got to be a comedian that's known for being a comedian. You can't just be an average person saying it. Then you're just, you know, you're a piece of garbage for saying tranny. But it's kind of crazy. The craziest thing about all of it is how well trained the society is to bring in the agenda and to go against their fellow human beings that want the best for them. And they're trained to go against that person and just bite their head off.
No, it's because this is what we see happening more so. And I definitely want to jump into this, you know, later. We're seeing this groupthink versus the individual think. We're saying, oh, well, what's better for the collective? It's better not to upset the collective. Don't upset our group here. You know,
right.
Don't speak the truth, even though we can all see that this is wrong. You might offend somebody. I definitely want to jump into that whole groupthink mindset later. I wanted to touch on, if we could, things like designer babies, you know, because this whole transgender thing, and I'll probably, you know what, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to talk about that other meme that we talked about at the start of the show, but I'm just going to say, for people, you know, that are in that community, in the LGBT community, if you want to have kids, you know, you shouldn't go out and go take other people's babies. But that's not going to be enough, like, for now and in the future. They're going to have things like IVF. They're going to have things like artificial insemination. They're going to have things like ectogenesis, gametogenesis, surrogate babies, and all kinds of different things like this. This transgender movement is pushing all of this transhumanism nonsense. It might seem like it's wrong and wild, but they don't care. That's why they don't want us to talk about it, because it's offensive. It's not that it's offensive. It's crazy. We can literally see what you guys are doing. You're trying to manipulate humanity.
Oh, yeah. You know, I had this guy in the summer that I met, this community that I live in. I was talking about this, how there's an agenda to get the kids through the curriculum in the school. They're going to get the children to question their gender. This was the plan. They weren't going to just bring out transgender. They were going to actually put it into the curriculum to make the children question their gender. You know, you teach them all this weird garbage about, you know, all this revolution against oppression for, you know, this is how they always push it. But anyways, this is a 17-year-old male, and he tells me the teacher asked him, what gender, what's your gender? And he said, male or female? Well, he answered, I'm male. And then the teacher said, why? You know what I mean? Now imagine you do that to 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7. It's insane. It's mass brainwashing. Like, literally mass brainwashing.
You're scrambling the minds of children. They're not... What you see, and this is... Again, this ties into more of that groupthink, that social engineering, that indoctrination. How is this education? That's not... It's, you see what I'm saying? Like, why are they teaching this to children? You're talking about the hyper-sexualization of children, as if it wasn't seen enough... You know, with Miley Cyrus twerking on stage, or with Cardi B twerking on stage, or Nicki Minaj twerking on stage, they're saying, you know what, we're not reaching them fast enough. There's a buffer period to where they can tune this out. We need to go straight to the school. This is why we have, like, weird pedophiles teaching children. But what is up with that? Why are they trying to scramble children's minds?
that's where the future lies, right? I mean, it's all about the youth.
It blows my mind. You know, you see it. I'll put it to you this way. I was at the library the other day, and apparently I was there during story time, and, you know, my truth-seeking side came out, and I was trying to take care of some work, and, you know, I had to go look. I had to go look to make sure that there wasn't some kind of person in drag reading to children. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's what they're doing. You go to the library. No, they weren't. They were not. Thank God they were not reading.
You just needed to make sure it wasn't a drag queen.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to make sure it wasn't a crossdresser or somebody, you know, trying to do anything crazy. It was a normal lady. You know, she was real attractive, real normal. It was above board. But I think it's crazy that they're even, like, having that be a thing. They're, like, literally letting these types of people desensitize children to this type of stuff. Have you seen that, what is it? It's like some 11-year-old little cross-dresser child thing, Lactatia.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sorry to be grossing people out with this type of stuff, you know, because it sounds crazy, but this is all of the stuff they're doing to children. If we thought all of this Pedogate stuff was bad, the Pizzagate stuff was bad, this is on the other side of it. If these pedophiles can't have children, this is how they make more of them. This is how they reproduce. They have to sexualize kids.
Yeah, it's all part of destroying the family, like we were talking about earlier, the family unit. Because how could any normalcy survive through all this stuff that's going on? It's insane. It's completely insane.
I don't understand the parents that are, like, supportive. That's what I guess my mind. I'm not trendy. I don't try to, you know, keep up with this. I would lose my lid if my child came home and told me some of this crazy stuff, or I was reading some of this literature. I would freak out.
Yeah, back in the day, if your child comes home, says, you know, mommy, I'm gonna get a tattoo, and the parents would get all crazy. Now they come home, mommy, I think I'm a boy, and they're just like, all right, let's go to the doctor's office and get that shot for you, you know. I was gonna make a meme with that little, like, idea where, you know, I saw something that, like, sparked the thought in my head. But that's how it was back in the day. Someone wants to get a tattoo. The kid wants to get a tattoo. The parents are like, "Get you out of your goddamn mind!" And they'll beat him probably or something. Like, go to your room. You're not getting a tattoo today. It's like, all right, well, we're gonna contact the doctor and make sure we get you those injections.
Get you those hormone injectors that you've been looking for, Billy.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And this is where we're heading. You know, it sounds ridiculous. It sounds far-fetched. It sounds like it's out there. But this is on the backside of what they're considering education, what they consider modern health, what they consider even fashion, what they even consider culture. And this is that weird, disassociative, dehumanizing problem. This is what happens whenever we literally have too much. I would say people have too much time on their hands to lose their mind like that. And, you know,
for sure, it's such a shame too. I mean, and it's like there's so many beautiful girls out there that they're just so gorgeous and so beautiful, yet like they're getting these injections in their faces and in their lips and everything. It's so bad, and people don't realize where this is heading. It's not going to stop here with people changing their face. I mean, you're going to literally have people transfer their consciousness into new bodies and choose new bodies to live in. Like, this is literally what's going to happen.
Yep.
And it sounds crazy. I know it is crazy. But it already sounds crazy enough that you have people getting injections in their faces and in their lips to look different. That's already like, whoa, this is like, what's going on here? What happened? Why do people hate themselves so much? What are people trying to become? What, you know?
Well, this is that body modification. This is all of that stuff that this is transhumanism, transgender. This is them all saying, you don't love yourself. Right now, you are flawed. Right now, you are disgusting. You're gross. You're ugly. You need to modify yourself. You need lipo injections. You need Botox. You need to wear a corset to where you literally contort your body.
I have to correct you. It's called beauty enhancements. It's not called what you said. Okay?
Oh, my bad. Beauty, you know, enhancements.
Oh, man. Yep. Beauty. Yep. I have some girls even that follow my page or whatever, and I've, like, you know, when you see somebody likes your thing, you check out their page or whatever, see, like, this beautiful girl, and she seems like she's, like, pretty smart, she's on top of things, but she's getting injections in her face and doing all this. It's like, I mean, I don't know. I know, obviously, you're going against some massive insecurity there to try to tell someone like that to not do it. You know what I mean? It's not my place to do that anyways. Even somebody in my family that is getting these injections and this, I can't even really, I don't even know what to say. It's just so insane.
Well, I think what, you know, what it's these are the six symptoms of society to where we don't really have a culture or a society that just, like, fosters beauty, that fosters, like, internal beauty, internal satisfaction, internal understanding, to where it's like, it's okay. It is okay to be you. You don't have to be, you know, Gorbulox from the seventh realm, and so now you're a dragon person. You don't have to be that. You can actually be so-and-so. You don't have to be some kind of crazy person with all kinds of tattoos or a lip piercing or a nose piercing, you know, and you took out three rib cages because you wanted your waist to be smaller. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. I saw one thing. It was a while back. Some girl got, I forget what it was. It was so crazy. She, like, removed most of her ribs or something and removed most of her and injected it into her butt to make her butt bigger. Yeah, it was so insane, but they're very good at this. You know, these big advertising agencies, which the advertising agencies, you know, in Hollywood and Washington, it's all the same control system. They're very good at playing us on our insecurities, on our fear of death. So that's what they're going to use to bring in all this stuff, is the fear of death. They'll bring that in. I mean, it's already there, but they're going to use that to have people transfer their consciousness into another body. It's so satanic. It's actually kind of funny how satanic it is. Like, this could not be more, I mean, it's going to be more satanic than it is now, because it's going to be more in your face. But it's just really, really evil stuff. Like,
well, I think it detracts away from the actual real problems that people are facing. You know, because you actually have people who, like you said before, you know, with people who are born with, like, both genitalia. In today's world, that would be a little bit crazy. In the future, it'll be entirely understandable. But all this, like, glorification of this hypersexualization, of this disassociation, of all these other things, that's really, like, doing damage to people that, you know, who are actually having problems with this type of stuff. So while we're over here, like, condemning, you know, actual people who were losing their stuff, saying, you know, look at me, I'm Kyle-ita now, I'm no longer Kyle, ha ha ha, you know, we're actually missing the people who actually require, like, deep psychological help. And on top of that, we're saying it's okay, you know, disassociate, get away from reality, you know, fall into this fantasy, it's okay, we'll support it, we'll actually encourage it, we will build you a GoFundMe if you want to lose your mind. Yeah, no, definitely do that. You don't want to be the person that you were born as, it's okay, you know, go modify yourself. And it sounds wild, but this is where it's going. And on top of that, it won't even be enough. You keep talking about things like consciousness transference, you know, clones, and then you start getting into things like, are we talking about robotic clones, or are we talking about organic clones? Are they growing the different bodies for us to actually inhabit, or are they just giving us different puppets to modify?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Like, with this whole sex robot thing and the robots, I actually just see that as a way of, again, taking people to the next step. So everybody's, when you have the subject of, let's say, sex robots and all this stuff, it's really to take people to the chip implant where they can have sex with Angelina Jolie in their head and see it in their head and actually feel it. Because right now, I don't know if you know, there are some technologies already being used where girls, let's say, like, cam girls, you know what cam girls are, they're using, like, some type of technology, these little devices that they can pretty much insert into themselves, and then when a noise goes off, it'll interact with their system and set off like some type of radio frequency or electromagnetic type of thing that gets them to orgasm.
A pleasure pulse.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you know that there's these devices that these girls are using today where You know, if you're on, let's say, like a porn site or something where the guys are tipping the girls and a sound goes off from the tip, they'll have one of these newer technology type of devices inserted in them. And when that device, when that sound goes off from the guy tipping them, it'll send the shock to their system or something or whatever it is, that electromagnetic frequency or wave or whatever it is. And that'll, so that's going to come with the chip. The chip implant, yeah, and there's going to be electronic drugs, apparently. There's a whole new world coming with this whole electronic digital age. But, yeah, as far as the clones and all this, I think that, yeah, they're just going to be organically created in a – I hate to say that, organically created, but you know what I mean. Created in, like, an artificial womb. Yeah, it's kind of like Brave New World.
Well, it's like you know, you're – I think that's crazy. You know, what we're literally talking about is them trying to use like some weird biohacking technology to just like keep us in a state of just like permanent euphoria, to where we're like, we can't see like everything else that's like going on around us. It's like, don't pay attention. You know, don't ask, you know, why is there an X in the middle of the sky in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon? Don't worry about that. You know, just get your social media feedback validation loop. Get that euphoria that you get from this thing called the like. You know, don't pay attention to, you know, why it feels like it's winter in summer or vice versa. Or don't pay attention to what they're spraying. Just, you know, make sure you send that selfie to your friend. They're trying to give us all these different things to where we just want to feel good. We want the euphoria. We want the pleasure. We want the sensation. And that's what they're going to do. I don't know if you saw, did you see that movie Ready Player One?
I haven't. Sounds like I should. Ready Player One?
Ready Player, it's a movie that was directed by Steven Spielberg. And the whole idea behind it is, you know, this kid, he puts on these goggles and he's transported into basically the Matrix. He's transported into this different world. And, you know, it has all kinds of sensors. There's a suit. You know, this guy's able to fully experience this entire digital world, but he's like encased in this suit. You know, how many different games or movies and predictive programmings have we seen with their, when they're trying to do that? That's the plan.
They're trying surrogates. Surrogates. Yeah. All. You've seen Surrogates?
Is that with Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they're like advertising it. They're just like, you can be anybody. You can go anywhere, and, you know, that's kind of what, and they know the world's going to just be miserable and insane, so that's why this is how people will escape. They know that the world's, they made this world, like, kind of a miserable type of place with so much hatred, where people are more prone to hating than they are to being a friend and loving.
So it's
not normal.
I have a random question for you, you know, and then we'll jump back into all this stuff. You know, what do you see kind of like as the future, because I kind of see a slim chance of us kind of being able to break off, not entirely, but still inhabit the same world. It's where you have people who are extremely technologically advanced. You know, they literally have all the implants. They're basically aliens. They're like cyborg aliens with like all the technology they have and how fast they're moving. And then you have, you know, humans over there on the other side of the spectrum who are just normal, who are saying, you know what, I'm good with technology. I kind of saw where this ended. Let's invest in something else.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to try to imagine how that's going to play out. Like, the people that don't want it. I mean, they do a little predictive programming with that, too. Like, in the Black Mirror episode, there's, oh, that girl hasn't been grained, or she's not grain. They call it grain. I guess like a grain of rice. It's almost like a little chip. But I don't really know. I mean, it's also mind-boggling and insane to me. It really is insane. So it's hard for me to even envision. Like, you can envision the future that you know is we're moving towards it every day. But then to actually picture what that's going to look like for somebody. I think the guys that go against the system, they're actually just going to be sent to the chamber, you know? I really do think that's what's going to happen. If you go against the system, you're going to be wiped out. It's not going to be like today. Today, you go against the system, all right, maybe you'll get your Facebook account banned. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. Tomorrow or 20 years from now, 30, 50 years, I don't know, you're just literally sent to your extermination. Like, that's all it's going to be. I was reading in one of their Bertrand Russell's book, The Scientific Outlook. He actually talked about, it was so sick. I wonder if I have the quote. I think I do have the quote right here. Let's see. It was like, it was something insane about the punishment of the future for people that are.
Oh, jeez.
Like, he was talking about how cruel society is going to get and how it's just going to be, like, you know, torture, the inflicting pain. Like, the society is going to be open to that majorly. Here. I do not imagine that pain will be much inflicted as punishment for sin, since no sin will be recognized except insubordination and failure to carry out the purposes of the state. It is more probable that the sadistic impulses which the asceticism will generate will find their outlet in scientific experiment. The advancement of knowledge will be held to justify much torture of individuals by surgeons, biochemists, and experimental psychologists. He's kind of talking about in the future there that pain's not going to be inflicted because you made a sin, but it will be failure to carry out the purposes of the state. That's what's going to bring in the infliction of punishment. Yeah, so that means society is going to support that. If you're, you know, you're against transgender and society's for transgender, then you need to be tortured. You know, something like that.
And what book is this?
The Scientific Outlook, which is a must-read. All of his books are really a must-read because he was part of the scientific class. I mean, he was interbred with the Darwins and the Huxleys. Those are three authors that I think every person that's interested in truth kind of has to read their books. You kind of have to. I mean, it's like being able to read David Rockefeller's, you know, I know he has his memoirs or whatever, but it's like being able to read these guys' books. It's like pretty powerful.
Yep.
And then the other part is, like, for all these people that deny these things going on, how is it possible that these men could have wrote things down 100 years ago and now it's all happened? Is that just like, so they would just walk in the casino and walk out with all the money, apparently, right? Like, they're just, they win no matter what, or is this planned out? Is this an agenda that we're living?
It's an agenda. An organized, decades-old, centuries-old agenda. While we're here, let me get your opinion on what do you, you know, clearly to some degree, we already are dealing with the breakaway civilization. Do you think they've always been there? Do you think right now they're starting to get, like, that much more power? Or do you see them kind of separating? Like, where do you see, like, the breakaway civilization in relation to this? Obviously, they're trying to experiment on us, but what are your thoughts on that?
You mean, like, people that are actually trying to get away from this?
Well, that too. I suppose that's a good way to look at it too.
When you say breakaway civilization,
I guess I mean, like, the military-industrial complex. You know, they're tossing around the word deep state, but I'm talking about, you know, the deeper. Levels of people who are the man behind the curtain, you know, the real Wizard of Oz, the guy that's pulling all the levers and the strings, the persons that are really there. Like, do you think they're gaining that much power, cutting ties? Like, where do you think they are right now?
I think that, you know, they're living better than the kings and the queens of the past, right? I mean, there's thousands of people in this ruling class that are now living like just the king and the queen in the past would have lived. So, I mean, I think I'm definitely not one of those guys. They, like, cheerlead. I get it. When you have people listening to you and people tuning into you, you want to give them hope. You want to make them positive. You kind of have to. It almost seems like any great leader does give the people hope. But I'm definitely not one of those cheerleader types that's saying, you know, the elite are scared and they're running away. Obviously, they have some paranoid, schizophrenic, control freak stuff going on to where they are. They'll always have that we're scared of losing our power thing ingrained in them, but I don't think they're, like, actively shaking in their boots, like, oh my god, you know, Alex Jones is all his viewers, we're in big trouble here. I don't even answer.
They fooled us. They got us. All of Alex Jones.
What are we gonna do? Alex Jones's live show is gonna really bring down our empire. Like, it's laughable, you know.
Oh my god.
I don't know. It's insane. Are they going to turn against each other at the top? And maybe something will come from there? I don't know. I just think it's so evil. And unfortunately, the guys that are part of the governing class, they're very brainwashed from the day they're born. Extremely brainwashed to be a psycho, you know, to be a psychopathic another quote from Scientific Outlook, he was talking about, he talked about the governing class. He's like, the psychology of governors will be a more difficult matter. They will be expected to display an arduous and hardworking devotion to the ideal of the scientific state, and to sacrifice to this ideal all the softer sentiments such as love of wife and children. So they have, it's like a guy like Trump or whoever else, like their love of wife and children, it's all, you know, brushed under the rug for the real, the scientific state. Like, this is what it's all about. In that book, he talks about how science is going to be the religion of the state. Basically, it's like a scientific state religion. Like, this is actually what's coming. This is what we're living right now. It's only going to become more pronounced, especially as you have different types of so-called, or what would look like is life-changing and life-saving technologies, which is going to be, you know, stem cell-based, where maybe they'll put a couple stem cells or something in your eye, and then your eye will heal itself, and you'll have the best vision, or put the stem cells. I don't know if you saw this recently. There's talk about stem cells to grow back your teeth. So all this stuff, they always use they do with the chip implant, where the chip implant's going to help people with Alzheimer's and people paraplegics who can't move around. Now they'll be able to move around. So it's all going to come in through these types of things, where if they're actually bettering humanity, they're going to make our lifespan longer, we're going to live longer, all this type of stuff. But really, what's coming in is like a complete scientifically run state with, you know, scientific dictatorship.
Yep, life extension and things like that. Right. You're basically talking about, you know, the scientific dictatorship, statism. You know, where they're replacing God with science, where they're replacing God with technology. You know, like we've been saying throughout this entire like broadcast, people don't understand how right now they're being slowly conditioned to say, I'm not perfect right now. Right now, I'm in a flawed state. We need things like the state to tell us how to think, and we need things like technology to make us better to think. Like we're not seeing how that's a slow incrementation. They're already trying to say that what is it? It's ODD, opposition defiance disorder. You know, if they've literally categorized it to where, you know, if you don't trust the state, if you don't trust government, if you have a questionable relationship with authority, you have a disease.
So it's ODD. That's ODD.
I
was wondering what I had. You know, I thought it was a mixture of a couple of them. It's ODD. I got it.
Cool. Yeah, you know, the politicians, they have been groomed since they were from birth. You know, we got ODD. That's all. You know, they were bred to kind of, you know, just be order takers. We kind of got saddled with opposition defiance disorder.
And that's another huge subject there in itself, with the psychiatry and the whole disorder thing, because really what that's about is eugenics. It's not about anything else. That's about them sitting there in the hospital with the baby in the womb, and this baby clearly is has some type of predisposed condition to ODD. This baby's going to have autism one day, you know, and so we need to terminate it in the womb. What else would an evil scientific state want than to have power over life and death? I mean, that's a pretty good one, right?
Well, you touched on it, and I think, you know, you said it best with everybody like replacing like natural human emotions, you know, things like family, things like children, things like actual having like, you know, family values, moral values. That's going right out the window. It's all about what the state wants. It's all about what technology demands. It's all about sustainable development. It's all about the technocracy. What's good for the state, not about you. It sounds like Rome.
Yeah, sustainable. You see all these like trendy vegans and trendy whatever else out there. They're saying sustainable. It's such a like word is used so much now. But also, yeah, you just talked about, I mean, where does love really come from? Love comes from the family. I mean, where does a child really see love? Where do you experience love in your life? At first, you experience it with your family. Of course, not every family is perfect. Some people don't have parents. Some people have screwed up parents. We know that. You know, they want society to get caught up in all this and be like, I hate my father and my parents are garbage and families not worth anything anyways. I'm going to go become a transgender, you know, like...
I hate your mom. You're ruining my life. I'm going to go change my gender.
And I think that is a part of why the gay population is increasing also. I do think so, because the family has been sort of destroyed. So you have all these guys out there that hate their dad, or these girls out there that hate their mom, or whatever parent they hate. So then they become, like, you know, they don't want to deal with that gender. You know, like, I'm pretty sure that's there. And also in Canada, I don't know if you know, I know we talked a lot about the transgender thing, but... just to throw this out there, that they weren't, if you want to adopt a child in Canada, you're less likely to get the adoption if you're against transgender and you're against this stuff. So, and why are they doing that? It's to bring in more pedophilia, because yep. It's a known thing that if gay couples have kids, clearly they're going to be more likely to be pedophiles. I mean, they're already not grounded in the sense of what should be done and what shouldn't be done, as far as, like, they're going against the normal already. It's clear they're going against the normal. When you become lesbian or gay, you're already going against the normal. That shouldn't, unfortunately today, that's actually like an argument, like, no, there is no normal. Imagine people telling you there's no such thing as normal. What is normal? That's when you know you're already in a bad spot, right? How could there be no normal? But it's a known thing that mathematically gay couples will have a way higher pedophilia rate.
Pedophilia rate and, you know, abuse rate. People in the LGBTQ546 community, whatever, you know, they definitely are, and you know, this is, again, what we were talking about before, detracting away from, like, real problems that these people are facing, the psychiatry of it. We're not over here trying to virtue signal people and tell, you know, people what's right and wrong, but there's so many different things that have popped up with that. So if we're going by, you know, what we feel, what we think is right, what feels good, what's purely physical, what's purely sexual, we're not really understanding what this is doing. And like Charles just said, you know, they're grooming the next generation. These people who are already going against the norm, who are trying to be edgy, you know, who are trying to be cool, who are trying to be alternative, they're going to get, they want your kids. They want to molest children. They want to do these things because, you know, right now, like we were talking about before the show, you know, they want to destroy the patriarchy. They want to destroy the family unit, you know, toxic masculinity and all those types of things. But this is it. This is the eventuality of it. Yeah, sure. You might not like wanting to have guys around. Do you want a whole bunch of people, you know, molesting children like that, living that way? These beta male people who are, like, literally destroying the family, who are saying it's okay to molest children. It's okay to have them go through these things.
Right? Yeah, it's love.
That's not love.
No, but this is what they say, right? That this is love. Like, the new love. Love went from mommy, daddy, and the family to, you know, raping little children all of a sudden. That's love. And you're somehow a hater if you're against that. And obviously not all gay people would be pedophiles, and I would never say something like that, but it's just more likely.
Think about it, you know, and this is where you get the rainbow flag, the rainbow spectrum flag of what I would consider, what they consider love, you know. And this is, again, why we have to kind of keep jumping back to the family unit, you know, to masculine energy and feminine energy. The rainbow energy, you know, the rainbow love, that thing's accepting of anything. You know, it's like the Care Bear. Just bring it in here. They just want love. It doesn't really care where it comes from. But the love that comes from a mother and a father is balanced. It is, there's something that's natural about it. Whenever we're going with the rainbow flag, you could have all kinds of different love, but it's okay. You accepted it. You didn't have a filter. You didn't have any discernment. You didn't say, oh, I should, you know, be cautious about who I let in my house. You're in a all accepting state of love, which means you get this kind of chaos, which means you get this kind of disassociation, which means you get this kind of craziness. You're not having, like, we're not, like, teaching discernment with love. And so whenever they're removing the masculine nature of these types of things to have and pass judgment and say, I love you, but I will not love that. That's not the world that they're trying to push. They're trying to have all-encompassing love. And if you don't want to, you know, basically give yourself over to this faux definition of love, this faulty definition of love, then you're a bigot or a misogynist or, you know, or something. And yeah. I just think it's crazy because they're, like I can't keep saying enough, they're trying to destroy the family unit, what is natural and what is wholesome and what is right.
Right. I mean, that's the main thing. I guess that's going to be the main test. Like, it's really the last thing that's left of the tribe. You know, they want to destroy the tribe. The last thing that's left of the tribe is the family. So that's why they're trying to take that out. I mean, it seems like it's working pretty well. The families are, you know, my own family, we have our own fights and everything. I have a big family. But just from seeing around me, just like even in religious communities where it is more family-oriented, the things, even there, you're just seeing so much fallout from this. I blame the garbage culture, like, more than probably almost anything, because the culture is such filth. And people are so addicted to entertainment and just watching all these just nonsensical movies and TV shows with total distortion of how reality even works. And so, you know, it's like just everything has to be perfect between the man and the woman when that's not how things work. Everybody has their ups and downs, and people have good days and bad days. And if a guy's working most of the week, he's not going to come home necessarily with a bouquet of roses and start, you know, rhyming poetry to his wife and all that. It's like, this is the type of nonsense that it's kind of put into women's minds these days, is that, like, I don't even know what the women are so brainwashed, it's insane. Like, it really is. The stuff that they're looking for, they want the bad boy, you know, they can't find any decent men, but yet it's like the guys that they go for are really just garbage a lot of the time. You know, I had my own sister told my mom that she likes the bad boys, like, years ago or something like that. And then it's just like, you see her now, she's not married, she's goes for the wrong guys. And it's just, a lot of this comes from what I think is the brainwashing in the TV and in the movies.
And people don't really see it, that it is that simple. I know this is stuff that people, like, already inherently know. But then, you know, if that's the case, why are we still seeing it? Why are we still seeing, you know, like you said, the bad boy type? Why is that being, like, endorsed? You know, why is it that a man goes to jail, but a wife can collect welfare if the man's not in the house? How does that work? You know, how is it that a lady can go out and go get pregnant with three or four different people, collect alimony or collect child support from every single one of them? Oh, but that's okay. How is it that these people can have such, like, dysfunctional relationships and think that that's where they're supposed to find love? It's because they're setting us up with, like, unrealistic expectations of what's human. We're supposed to go through trials. We're supposed to go through tribulations. We're supposed to go through all these, like, hardships to learn stuff. But the thing is people think, oh, well, I got this pocket computer, I know everything. I know what kind of person I need. I know what kind of thing I need in my life. You know, I can order it up from Amazon and my life is perfect. It's like, no, there is no definition of perfect. You have to live to find perfect. You have to create perfect. You don't just order that up. You don't just swipe left and think, oh, yep, there's my perfect. But that's, again, that instant gratification where there's no wisdom. There's no, like, retention of, like, actual understanding of what's happening right now. Like, you talk to people, you know, you can try to talk to people about relationships these days. You know, I had a buddy the other day. You know, he's talking smack about his relationship. And I'm just like, well, you know, to be honest, man, you weren't really fair with your old lady either. You know, she wasn't really being faithful and you weren't really being faithful. So how can you, you know, how can you even say that that's the same? If no one's being faithful, no one's actually trying to build anything up, you know, in this relationship, it's obviously going to flop. But this is, again, some of that, like, indoctrination that we've seen with media, with music, with television, to where it's just like, oh, you're not what I want right off the bat, so I can't have you. It's like, well, you're not what I want either. Why don't you change and grow up? But that's right. that's that mental immaturity that they're forcing on us. Like what we were talking talking about with Cardi B and all of these other chicks that are over here on the television just, like, being ratchet, just being crazy.
Yeah, it's actually gross. And I hate the whole, like, I don't like to be on the part either where it's like, oh, all girls are whores either. And I don't do that, really, you know, like, because you know how that's, like, it's a guy talk. It's almost like it's almost become common now to, you have the girls saying there's no decent men out there, yep, and you have the guys saying, oh, they're all whores, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
it's not gonna work out, we can't be like this, you gotta, you know,
that's not how we move forward. That's not how, think about that. What, how do you think, all right, I'll put it to people this way, how do you think your grandparents met? How do you think their grandparents met? They didn't have some phone where they could swipe left and just like order up a boyfriend or a girlfriend like they order up Grubhub.
Yeah, that swiping stuff is really something else too. It's another part of this, just so dehumanized, you know? Like,
did you see Facebook said they came out with their own definition, a new metric of time. They called it a flick.
I didn't see this.
I don't have the measurement in front of me, but they like released their own definition of time. And this, again, you know, goes into how these people have these formulas and all this information. But they have a measurement of time to where your brain registers what you're seeing, like on your phone before you flick it. And I think it's like 1/20th of a second. That's what they've like defined the time frame of a flick as, like whenever it registers. But I don't have the metric here in front of me, but it's crazy because that's, they have the skills for this. They have the technology, they have the information to literally like define when your brain, like how long it takes for your brain to register something. And Facebook defined it.
Of course they did. Yeah, I mean, this whole data collection, social media thing, I mean, Charles Galton Darwin talked about it in his book, The Next Million Years, that he was envisioning, and he wasn't envisioning nothing because I'm sure they had it then, but he was like, there would be these computer-type systems where they can use the data and simulate what the response from the public would basically be from policy changes and whatever. So back then he was talking about how, you know, they can, let's say, shut off the water in New York City and click simulate, and how the people react to that. So based on all your information that they have on everybody with these virtual computers, that the virtual world they have in these supercomputers, they can literally simulate how we're going to respond to them. And that's what this was all about. I think we talked about this a little bit last year, but yeah, I mean, when we have the whole goal of this social media thing is to basically have a perfectly predictable society, 100% predictable. And they say that, what, they are 95% now or something like that. I know they come out with things where they can, where they tell you, or they tell us that they can predict most of our movements from a day-to-day basis, where we're going to go.
Yep, it's the pattern recognition. And that's, yeah, it's the pattern recognition, the metadata, and all the other stuff that they like throw out there. That's why they tell you, oh, you know, what was it back in like 2015, 2016? They're like, oh, we don't need your actual information. We're not taking your data. We need your metadata. Well, all that metadata that they were using, consider that like your Snapchat photos, what you like on Facebook and different things like that. Every single time you take a poll or you're on social media, they're collecting that metadata real time to see how people are reacting to things. Like whenever the truth community is just like, oh, false flag, something fishy's here, you know, with the Las Vegas massacre. People knew right off the bat, something fishy. So they were able to track that live time, and we saw them live time changing the story. As soon as people reached a certain point of understanding and the information got out, they were like, nope, we got to change the story. Nope, we got to change the story. Nope, we got to change the story. And go ahead.
Oh, that's also part of their conditioning process and, you know, engineering and programming us is keep changing stories, and nothing makes sense. They don't want anything to make sense. You know, they don't want it. It's not supposed to make sense. Because that's how you control people.
Yeah.
They're confused.
And that's what people really have to understand. If there's anything we can try to get across in this like episode, is just that they are continuously trying. They're continuously trying to like not only manipulate our mind, but disassociate us from reality, so that the reality they're trying to say is okay, is really a trap. You know, that's why, if anything, that's why they're legalizing all these drugs these days, saying, oh, well, we're going to legalize MDMA for PTSD, or oh, we're going to give you magic mushrooms for your depression, as provided by Monsanto. oh, we're going to legalize medical marijuana as provided by Bayer. It's like, wait, what? You're trying to give me drugs from Bayer? I'm all right with that.
And it's amazing how this actually works, though. Like, this is working on even people within this movement. They're saying, you know, that mushrooms and MDMA should be. It's like, yo, these things aren't going to work out. These drugs. I smoke weed. To be honest with you, I smoke here and there. I've smoked a lot in my life, but I'm trying to quit because I don't. Even if it's grown supposedly organically, no pesticides, I really want to keep my mind just clean. I really do.
It's like tough. Sound and normal and clean.
Yeah, it's tough to do it, you know, especially when the weather's, when it's all cold, there's nothing to do, you feel like you're home, you got to take a hit or something, smoke something, but it's obvious that they want us all drugged out. It's completely obvious. Of course you're going to have, you know, parades in the street and big celebrations when weed is completely legalized in the U.S., which is 100% happening because they're going to legalize all drugs to numb us from how insane everything is.
I think one of the crazier things that you told me, you know, is this, not to derail, but in that book, The Scientific Outlook, the fact that no sin will be recognized, that sentence just like blew my mind. I'm like, oh my God.
No sin other than going against the state, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Could you imagine them like literally saying, you know what? We're gonna beat this guy up. We're gonna lock him up because he doesn't want to take his happy shots, whatever they call them, you know?
Oh, I could really imagine it. And just based on, you know, I made a video, I'm not sure if you saw it, but I got so, like, angry, really. I think anger was, like, the main, and people underestimate how powerful anger really is. There's obviously the bad side to anger, but there's also a very, very good part of anger that you have.
The righteous rage.
Exactly. So I had this righteous, it's indignation is a righteous anger, and I had this just, like, I was so, like, angry because I made this post about vaccines, whatever, and then I saw somebody reposted it or something, some account, and I looked at it, and the guy was basically posting it but saying that I'm a complete fool or this and that, or I shouldn't be able to have kids. I was just looking at the comments, and they're like, this guy should be sterilized, and there's, like, 10 people clicking like on that. This guy should not be allowed to have kids. He should be jailed. Tons of people clicking like on it. And I saw this, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, we're literally going to get to the point where these same people who are clicking like on these comments and saying these comments, they're going to be cheering while, you know, houses are busted into and parents that don't vaccinate their kids are going to be sent away.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I was imagining. So I was like, I need to make this video. I saw there was these triplets that all went autistic the same day. So I made this video, and I was like, the autism debate is over. Triplets all go autistic or something like that. And I had this, like, I was so angry. I was like, I'm going to make this video, and I'm going to make it in such a way that it's going to be, like, perfect to, like, trigger emotions in people and this and that. And I was like, I'm going to make it in such a way that at least 1 million people are going to see it. Like, I didn't say this, but I thought it. And sure enough, millions of people saw the video. It went out. It went viral. And so, yeah.
And I think, no, that's good. That's that, like we said, that righteous indignation, that righteous rage to where you're like taking, like, look, you guys really don't understand how, like, bad, how dire the straits are, like how they really are trying to kill us, like how they're literally trying to sterilize us, or how they're trying to, I don't know how, but chemically intoxicate children. And people need to know that. Like you said, these are the people that are going to be saying, you know what? This guy, he does need to go to jail. He didn't vaccinate his kids. I remember, like, a few months back, in California, no less, a surprising shocker, this lady was picking up her son from school. She's over there on the side of the street waiting for the bus or something. Police officer walks up. She's accompanied by a school official, and she's just like, do you have... Whoop. Think we're getting a call? Okay. Charles.
A little malfunction there.
That was weird.
Yeah, the laptop just kind of shut.
Oof. Is everything running all right over there?
Everything's good now, yeah. Sorry about
that. How much did you hear?
I didn't hear the response that you were just saying to when I said that.
I was going to say, I don't know if you heard, but in California, it was a few months back in California, this lady, she's picking up her kid. She's on the side of the road. I think she's waiting for the bus or something. And this cop walks right up to her and says, has your child had his shots? She was accompanied by some school official. Guy walks up, starts asking her all kinds of questions, like, do you have your shots? Do you have your shots? It's like, what kind of world are we living in to where you're, like, literally run up on by officials and ask, like, do you have your shots? What's going to happen? Is this police officer going to arrest you?
In the future, you're saying?
I think so in the future, yeah. But what do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's why I was talking about this whole video and seeing them comment. Not because I was so sure when I saw all this and like this whole moment was going on for me, I was 100% sure a guy like me is getting sent to jail in the future. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Oh yeah,
there's no doubt. I'm putting everybody at risk by not vaccinating my child. That is the simple propaganda logic that is that has been built into the psyche now of the public.
Isn't that their whole mindset? They're like, oh well. My vaccines on my children doesn't work because they didn't get theirs. Isn't that what they try to say?
Yeah, it's so illogical. If you got your shots and, you know, and the God state or whatever vaccinated you with your miracle cures that are in the injections, and you should be fine no matter what, right? I mean, what is somebody who didn't get vaccinated? How is that a threat to you? Like, it's so insane, but you can't reason with that type of propaganda. It's just so perfect. It's amazing. But I actually, yeah, that's probably the main subject for people to get out there in the streets. I can't see anything else that can really touch that. It's so fragile. A newborn baby getting shot up with all this stuff. It's like, I mean, if we don't go against that, then I don't think we're gonna have a chance on any other subject.
I agree. You know, that's whenever it became personal, whenever they were trying to attack my unborn child. That's whenever it became personal.
Oh yeah, that's just too much. It's too much. And I mean, these things are, my own brother got Guillain-Barré syndrome from a shot. You know, my family didn't even put everything together. I put it together later on. I'm like, wait, how old was he when he went paralyzed, and what is the disease he had? And I researched it all, and I'm like, well, Guillain-Barré syndrome is only linked to vaccine. That's the only thing it's linked to, you know? Because I was told these stories when I was little. We had this like bigger house not far from here, but the floors were all scratched downstairs, and they would say, my parents would say, well, yeah, when Mark, my brother, was sick, the whole school came and visited him. So that's why the floors got all scratched up, because the whole school was in there, whatever. That's apparently what they were telling me. And little did they know or I know when they were telling me this that my brother actually was paralyzed from a vaccine.
That's crazy. So you have you guys ever tried to like reclaim or try to go to the government with like a vaccine injury case?
He didn't try. The funny thing is, more recently, he went to a CVS pharmacy where they like to push these flu shots or whatever, and the girl asked him, did you get your flu shot, or you want a flu shot, and this and that? And he said that when he looked at the paper on the bottom, it said, if you had Guillain-Barré syndrome, you cannot. And he told the lady that he had Guillain-Barré syndrome. She said, oh, well, if you had GBS, we can't give you the shot, because it's already, you know, they don't want to deal with that claim that they're definitely going to get after he gets a flu shot and gets destroyed by it. So it's funny that it's on each flu shot. They're not allowed to give the flu shot to anyone who had GBS before. My brother is one of those people. He got GBS from a vaccine when he was 17. So it's just interesting, and there's just so many instances we're not hearing about, that these vaccines are damaging people. And listen, if you want to get your vaccine, go ahead. I'm not trying to stop you from getting your vaccine. I'm not going to try, you know, I would like to stop you from getting, because it's not good for you, but just don't force that on me, you know? And then the parents, it's a tough situation, because then the parents that have their kids in schools and they don't want the shot, well, they're like, well, what do I do? I can't send my child to the school. And I said, you should celebrate that, you know, you can't send your child to the school. You start homeschooling. Start, I mean, it's harder to apply that, right, though, because they need to work and they're out of the house. So it's all crazy. But really, I would never send my child to any of these schools ever.
I think that's where, you know, some of the debates these days are going to come up from. Like, how do we have, like, a pro-human society versus this one where it's clearly anti-human?
Yeah. It's definitely anti-human. I still don't understand how we don't, like, put our heads together and make a better system. I just don't understand, like, how we, you know. And it's one thing, I don't want to get caught in just going against the system. I want to build and create. You know what I mean? Because that's part of the trap. Part of this trap is they've figured out that we're just going to go against the system. That people are going to hate the New World Order. I think it was H.G. Wells that said, countless people will hate the New World Order and they will die protesting against it. That's because they got it figured out, in their minds at least, that we're gonna fall for the trap of going against it and hating and fighting rather than building our own, you know, loving, pro-human structure that we should build. So, I mean, that's part of my own, like, personal battle, it feels like, is that I gotta somehow come up with a way or be part of something that builds and creates something that's just better for us. Yeah, more pro-human, like food not being so, like, quality food being, you know, as expensive as it is today is ridiculous, or that there's so many homeless people or people that can't afford food. Let's get down to the facts here. Most people can't afford to have a baby anymore.
Nope. Things are, and that's that attacks the family unit, that attacks, like, the economy, that attacks, I mean, look at Japan. They have their one child birth policy, and now they're getting sued for a eugenics program.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
You know, these are all real economic issues that we often take in place, but they're not fostering that. This is, again, more that pushing the state to be God rather than actually living in a pro-human world.
Right, and the actual society itself is just so brainwashed, there's not really anything you could do on a societal level, it doesn't seem. I mean, there has to be something, right? But it just doesn't, it seems like society itself has just completely fallen for this agenda as of right now, and they're not really, I don't know. I don't know if it's led by hopelessness, or I don't know what it is. It seems like I get this vibe of hopelessness from people. I really do. I get this vibe of nothing's ever going to get any better. There's no point even trying. If you try, they'll kill you. It's only going to get worse. Like, this is the vibe I get from people on a day-to-day basis. They've given up. Yeah, it seems that way.
They've given up. And that's why we have to have these kinds of conversations, because it gives them something else to tune into. Of people who are, like, aware of what's going on and who are trying to fight it in the best way they know, in the best way they know how, with the tools that they have, like saying, what is this? What are we really going up against? Why is all this disparity happening? And we have to have these kinds of discussions to come up with these kinds of answers, to say that we need, like, a pro-human society, to say that we need something that values the human life, that values families, that values, like, continuation, not just instant gratification and throwing out, you know, after I'm done with it.
Right, and it's amazing that, you know, the rights, what women look at as rights today, you know, their health rights, their rights to health, and it's all about aborting babies somehow. Somehow women's freedom turned into aborting babies. Like, that is the only freedom, and getting paid the same amount and jobs, yeah, we know. But that's just all it seems like. That's what they're rallying for, is the right to abort their baby, like...
Well, it's like you look at some of the feminism today. All of the ladies that are out there doing this feminism stuff, they don't have someone that cares for them, or they usually get beat up by, you know, another lesbian lover. Like, it's crazy. You know, you really start looking at all this and how well designed it is. It is mind-boggling. That's the best way to describe it. But Charles, where can people find more of your work? You said, you know, you're dealing with the censorship over on Facebook. Where can more people find more of your work?
Both, yeah, Facebook and Instagram, at Truth Is Terrorism. Back on Facebook as of, like, yesterday or whatever it was, finally. see how long that lasts. But I'm gonna try to be a good citizen, you know.
I don't know. I don't know if we want good citizens over here. They might be boring.
Yeah, probably, man.
And YouTube, are you over there as well?
I have a YouTube account. I haven't really gone into it as much, kind of for my own personal and legal reasons, but hopefully soon.
Say no more. I understand entirely. Well, Charles, I want to say, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my man, and we'll have to get you on sooner to where it's like not a full season and a year later. I feel like we have like really good conversations and we only scratched the surface. I have to go look up that book. Who is it by? One more time.
Bertrand Russell. Cousin of the Darwins and the Huxleys. They're all relatives.
And that's the Scientific Outlook you said?
Oh, yeah. You would like the Scientific Outlook. You got to read that. The Impact of Science on Society. You're going to want to read that also. You would get a lot from those books, for sure. And, I appreciate you having me on here. I definitely enjoyed the discussion, and I'm open to having more talks in the near future.
Like I said, my man, thank you for coming on, and I'll talk to you real soon.
All right, you're the man. Thank you, man. Have a good one.
You too.